The Wolf and the Seven Little Kids. There was once upon a time an old goat who had seven little kids and loved them all with all the love of a mother for her children. One day she wanted to go into the forest and fetch some food, so she called all seven to her and said, "Dear children, I have to go into the forest. Be on your guard against the wolf. If he comes in, he will devour you all, skin, hair, and everything. The wretch often disguises himself, but you will know him at once by his rough voice and his black feet." The kids said, "Dear mother, we will take good care of ourselves. You may go away without any anxiety." And then the old one bleated and went on her way with an easy mind. It was not long before someone knocked on the house and called, "Open the door, dear children. Your mother is here and has brought something back with her for each of you." But the little kids knew it was the wolf, by his rough voice. "We will not open the door," cried they. "You are not our mother. She has a soft, pleasant voice, but your voice is rough. You are the wolf." And then the wolf went away to a shopkeeper and bought himself a great lump of chalk, ate this, and made his voice soft with it. Then he came back and knocked on the door of the house and called, "Open the door, dear children. Your mother is here and has brought something back with her for each of you." But the wolf had laid his black paws against the window, and the children saw them and cried, "We will not open the door. Our mother has not black feet like you. You are the wolf." And then the wolf ran back to the baker and said, "I have hurt my feet. Rub some dough over them for me." And when the baker had rubbed his feet all over, he ran to the miller and said, "Strew some white meal over them for me." The miller thought to himself, "The wolf wants to deceive someone," and refused. But the wolf said, "If you will not do it, I will devour you." And then the miller was afraid and made his paws white for him. Truly, this was the way of mankind. So now the wretch went for the third time to the house door and knocked at it and said, "Open the door for me, children. Your dear little mother has come home, and she has brought every one of you something back from the forest with her." The little kids cried, "First show us your paws, so we may know that if you are our dear little mother." He put his paws through the window. When the kids saw that they were white, they believed all that he had said was true and opened the door. But who should come in but the wolf? They were terrified and wanted to hide themselves. One sprang under the table, the second into the bed, the third into the stove, the fourth into the kitchen, the fifth into the cupboard, the sixth under the washing bowl, and the seventh into the clock case. But the wolf found them all and used no great ceremony, ate one after the other and swallowed them down his throat. The youngest, who was in the clock case, was the only one he could not find. The wolf had satisfied his appetite and took himself off and laid himself down under a tree in the green meadow outside and began to sleep. Soon afterwards, the old goat came home from the forest. Ah, what a sight she saw there! The house door stood wide open. Tables and chairs and benches were thrown down. The washing bowl lay broken in pieces, and the quilts and pillows were pulled off the bed. She sought her children, but they were nowhere to be found. She called to them one after the other by name, but no one answered. At last, when she came to the youngest, a soft voice cried, "Dear mother, I am in the clock case." She took the kid out and told her had the wolf come and eaten all the others. That you may imagine how she wept over her poor children. At length, in her grief, she went out, and the youngest kid ran with her. When they came to the meadow, there lay the wolf by the tree and snored so loud that the branches shook. She looked at him on every side and saw something was moving and struggling in his gorged belly. "Ah, heaven," she said, "is it possible that my poor children, whom he has swallowed down for his supper, can still be alive?" Then the kid, who had run home to fetch scissors and a needle and thread, and the goat cut open the monster's stomach, and hardly had she made one cut that one little kid thrust its head out, and when she cut farther, all six sprung out one after the other, and they were all still alive. They had suffered no injury whatsoever, for in his greediness the monster had swallowed them down whole. What rejoicing there was! They embraced their dear mother and jumped like a tailor at his wedding. The mother, however, said, "Now go look for some big stones, and we will fill the wicked beast's stomach with them while he is still asleep." Then the seven kids dragged the stones thither with all their speed, and put as many of them into his stomach as they could get in. And then the mother sewed him up again and in great haste, so that he was not aware of anything, and never once stirred. When the wolf at length had his fill of sleep, he got on his legs, and as the stones in his stomach made him very thirsty, he wanted to go to the well to drink. But when he began to walk and move about, the stones in his stomach knocked against each other and rattled. Then cried he, "What rumbles and tumbles against my poor bones? I thought 'twas six kids, but it feels like big stones." And when he got to the well and stooped over the water to drink, the heavy stones made him fall in, and he drowned miserably. When the seven kids saw that, they came running to the spot and cried aloud, "The wolf is dead! The wolf is dead!" and danced for joy round about the well with their mother. The Queen Bee. Two kings' sons once upon a time went into the world to seek their fortunes, but they soon fell into a wasteful, foolish way of living, so that they could not return home again. Then their brother, who was a little insignificant dwarf, went out to seek for his brothers. But when he had found them, he only laughed at them, to think that he, who was young and simple, should try to travel through the world when they, who were so much wiser, had been unable to get on. However, they all set out on their journey together, and came at last to an anthill. The two older brothers would have pulled it down, in order to see how the poor ants in their fright would run about and carry off their eggs. But the little dwarf said, "Let the poor things enjoy themselves. I will not suffer you to trouble them." So on they went. They came to a lake where many ducks were swimming about. The two brothers wanted to catch two and roast them, but the dwarf said, "Let the poor things enjoy themselves. You shall not kill them." The next day they came to a bee's nest in a hollow tree, and there was so much honey that it ran down the trunk, and the two brothers wanted to light a fire under the tree and kill the bees so as to get all their honey, but the dwarf held them back and said, "Let the pretty insects enjoy themselves. I cannot let you burn them." At length the three brothers came to a castle, and as they passed the stables they saw fine horses standing there, but all were of marble, and no man was to be seen. They went through all the rooms till they came to a door on which there were three locks, but in the middle of the door was a wicket, so they could look into the next room. There they saw a little gray old man sitting at a table. They called to him once or twice, but he did not hear. However, they called a third time, and then he rose and came to them. He said nothing, but took hold of them and led them to a beautiful table covered with all sorts of good things. And when they had eaten and drank, he showed each of them to a bedchamber. The next morning he came to the eldest and took him to a marble table where there lay three tablets, containing an account of the means by which the castle might be disenchanted. The first tablet said, "In the wood, under the moss, lie 1,000 pearls belonging to the king's daughter. They must all be found. If one be missing by the set of the sun, he who seeks them will be turned into marble." The eldest brother set out and sought for the pearls all day, but when evening came and he had not found the first 100, he was turned into stone, as the tablet foretold. The next day, the second brother undertook the task, but he succeeded no better than the first, for he could only find the second 100 of pearls, and therefore too was turned into stone. At last came the little dwarf's turn, and he looked in the moss, but it was hard to find the pearls, and the job was so tiresome that he sat down upon a stone and cried. As he sat there, the king of the ants, whose life he had saved, came to help him. With 5,000 ants, it was not long before they all found the pearls and laid them in a heap. The second tablet said, "The key of the princess's bedchamber must be fished out of the lake." And as the dwarf came to the brink of it, he saw the two ducks whose lives he had saved swimming about, and they dived down and soon brought the key from the bottom. The third task was the hardest. It was to choose out the youngest and best of the king's three daughters. Now they were all beautiful, and all exactly alike, but he was told that the eldest had eaten a piece of sugar, and the next some sweet syrup, and the youngest a spoonful of honey, so he was to guess which one had eaten the honey. Then came the queen of bees, who had been saved by the little dwarf from the fire, and she tried the lips of all the three, but last she sat upon the lips of the one who had eaten the honey, so the dwarf knew which one it was, the youngest. Thus the spell was broken, and all who had been turned to stones awoke and took their proper forms, and the dwarf married the youngest and bestest of the princesses, and was king after her father's death, but the two brothers married the other two sisters.